Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's I was gonna do a swinging edition. Should I do a swinging edition of Hitting the High Notes?
I just think people might make too many assumptions. Right.
It's a We Suck Again edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is, I am here. The voice in your ear hole, penetrating your ear hole right now, is at Who Trans Superman, HUUTREN Superman, or at Jazz High Notes number 2. You know what? We have our regular guests, but you know what? Let's bring on. It's been like a month and a half since we've heard from this guy. He squatches the dragon. There's a brand new episode of the Twos and Threes since the last time he's been on. What's up, Dragon Squatch?
Yeah, I just couldn't let Mark have that. Mark's going to come back. I got to get my shit together. So hypothetical, fuzzy, furry, magical ACLs back intact. I'm not sure what the comp was.
Yeah,
exactly. I listened to it. Yeah, I did listen to it Monday, though.
So. Yeah, you got a good stuff. The Cox brothers got a big shout out on the Twos and Threes there. And, you know, speaking of the Twos and Threes and the Jazz Pod Co-op, another Jazz Pod Co-op, he tried to highlight the highlighters today, but somebody decided to blow the electricity in his building. It wasn't him, but it is Alma Bean of Alma Bean 23. What's up, man?
You know, just pushing through. I really tried to record that episode today, but somebody decided to crash into the electrical box, and I didn't have power for like 4 hours.
No power. You've got to have
power.
Were
they driving a bus? Was it a bus?
So I didn't make it that far. I had a very panicked dog to take care of, so I was like, let's just stay inside. We'll figure everything else out. We'll just wait for the time to come back.
I have an alibi.
This guy does have the dog in him. He's the bus driver. Drive the bus. Not on this podcast, though.
He's got more bark than bite.
Yeah, he's the barker. The barker of the bus of barkers. What's up, Jared Barker?
Not much, man. How you doing tonight?
You know, doing better than some other. Man, there's a lot of turmoil in Jazzland right now. And if they were winning, we'd be okay. But they're not winning. And you could be winning. Let's take a break here at 4 minutes so I can actually bring up the ad read, because I forgot to do that.
Nice.
I keep forgetting to do that.
Just make it up like Jared did.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite moment when Jared hops off.
Just insert that one. Just insert that one, yeah.
Just take whatever you want.
Yeah.
We have a real read.
I was like, I didn't want to read it, but wait a second. We just make up whatever the fuck we want. The rules have changed, and they're going to get on this.
All right. And I'm a part of the B League. I should just leave this all in. I should not edit anything out. Part of the B League Network. And you could be winning with betonline.ag because it's playoff time and the road to Vegas goes through San Fran and Baltimore. What? Oh, because they're the home teams. I get it.
There you go.
BetOnline is the number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props, head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. That might be the truth.
Wait, it says San Fran, really?
It says San Francisco, sorry. San Francisco.
Oh. I was going to say, who? We don't call it that, but okay.
Interesting that that was the shortest ad read that they've ever given me. But, back to the Jazz. And, you know, the Jazz not winning right now. As Jared pointed out, this is the Waterboy moment. Rob Schneider, oh, we suck again. That was actually inspired from Logan's tweet just the other night. Logan, haven't heard from you in a while. Thanks for coming back on. I'm sorry the Jazz are on a 3-game losing streak. You missed all the good stuff last month.
Yeah, sure as hell did. That was my reason for coming back. And then, all jokes aside, I'm not really sure what to make out of them. They obviously had a favorable schedule. I mean, not a favorable schedule. They had some favorable superstar luck, right, or missing key players in that stretch. Mm-hmm. And my one pushback to that was they were just absolutely blowing the doors off most of those teams, though, right? So even though they were short, they were still kicking the shit out of a lot of them.
Yeah, beating ass.
And maybe this last three feels worse because it's like, and maybe Twitter makes it worse because you get Oklahoma City, who's one of the tank, the little tankers. That's one of their golden children. And the same with the Rockets. So you lose those two close back to back. And then what was the last game they lost? Which was
the Pelicans beat the shit out of the Pelicans.
Christ, that was the one where I was like, okay, like I don't know what to think anymore. I hope we're not 7-16 bad again, but I don't know that. We obviously aren't 14-6 good or whatever right. It was. So Jared, I don't know. Very confusing time.
Jared, you were there for the streak. You know, how are you feeling now than you did maybe 2 weeks ago?
I mean, it feels like most of the games that they're losing have been close and have been at least against decent teams. But I really just don't know what to make of this team, honestly. They are always too high or always too low, I guess. I don't know.
The
anti-Rubios, yeah.
What are the numbers saying? What do we highlight here? Like, what's going on with the Hatter? Like, what would you say about this Jazz slump right now?
So, if I'm like looking at these games, the granted losses are piling up, 0-3. But when you go ahead and take a look at the numbers, like let's go ahead and start with the Thunder. It was only a 5-point loss, but it also required the Thunder to play a near perfect game to go ahead and even get the result they did. So that loss, not too bad. Then when you go ahead and look at the Rockets game, they had to go into overtime. And again, the Rockets went ahead and played a fairly good game. I mean, granted, they only shot like, I think it was 33% from the perimeter, but that was also like a big thing to go ahead and focus on because they're going to go ahead and try and drive into the paint. And they know that the paint is going to go ahead and be something that Utah excels in defensively. So they're going to go ahead and go to Şengün and then try and kick out. But Şengün went ahead and had a career high with 32 points that game. So it ended up not going how I thought it would, but I mean, it was still a 1-point game that had to be decided in overtime. Mm-hmm. But then the Pelicans. I put in my article, focus on the perimeter. The perimeter is where New Orleans is going to lie. And off the top of your head, can you like take a guess at what their percentage was from three?
Their percentage? I watched that game. It was actually, I know this one. It was 145%.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, they hit. And that's fun because, like, I mean, that game, it was – in the first half, I was like, you know, the first half happened. They hit, like, I don't know, like 10, 12, 14 out of, like, 23s. They were, like, 70%. What was the actual percentage?
So it was right at 50%. They were 23 for 46. Yeah. And C.J. McCollum, who I even highlighted in there, I was like, he is going to be your main threat. He went 9 for 13 from the perimeter.
Just crazy how like
from 3-point
from 3-point. Yeah. Yep.
And Jesus like, Christ.
And, exactly.
And the thing is, like, even in garbage time, they were like the garbage squad came in. They were still draining threes. So mm-hmm. It was just look the Pelicans game. I'm gonna throw it away. Like it happens.
You yeah. Know, and like, and again, like you have those outliers yeah. occasionally, but
as long as said, scheduled loss.
Yeah. So I mean, now if you go ahead and take a look at what's to come, like there's the Wizards, please don't lose to the Wizards. Then you have the Hornets. Please don't lose to the Hornets, especially like back-to-back
well,
games.
I mean, we're about to see two future Jazzmen, Kyle Kuzma and Miles Bridges, coming up on this road trip. So
and potentially the homecoming of Gordon Hayward.
And, yeah, Gordon Hayward coming too.
But then immediately after that, you have back-to-back Monday-Tuesday between the Nets and the Knicks. Those ones I could see going 1-1, and I'll be happy. If it's 0-2, whatever, as long as it's within like a 5-point swing, I find it acceptable because the Jazz just have not been a good team on the road right. at all.
Yeah, I mean, Wizards, Hornets, Nets, Knicks. The Jazz should be favored to win three of those games. Maybe not by a lot, but I mean, they should be better than Wizards. They should be better than the Hornets. The Nets were on. I mean, the Nets blew a 20-point lead to the Clippers the other night, a team that had lost six in a row prior to that, or six or seven. It was a big. I'm just making up numbers, but they had lost a bunch of games in a row. And look, the Rocket, the Pelicans game doesn't bother me. It happens. Like it was a historically, not historically, but astronomically good night for the Pelicans, just everywhere.
And it was a franchise high in points in a game, too.
Look,
so.
I don't think the Jazz are very good on defense. I don't know if they're that bad on defense, but they're generally below average on defense. So, that's whatever. But they were winning those other games with a below average defense, so whatever.
Yeah, so especially like with the Pelicans game, it's just right. It's that outlier game. But again,
who did you say had lost? Did you say the Clippers had lost seven in a row?
The Nets had lost like six or seven.
Oh, the Nets had lost. Yeah,
That's my I used the wrong preposition there. So, I need to. I shouldn't use preposition there when I'm talking about multiple teams. But you know, the Rockets game, the Rockets. Alma just gave me a four horsemen sign, so he loves Ric Flair. Oh, four in a row. That's what he meant.
Yeah, they had four losses in a row. Okay.
Woo! The Rockets game.
Speaking of Ric Flair, have you guys seen that? You guys got to see Iron Claw, that movie.
Yeah, it was. I talked to Alma about that movie today. Did you see it, Logan? Iron Claw?
Yeah, it's the best movie I've ever seen. I loved every second of it.
That had everything you want in a movie.
The only part I didn't like was the guy they had play Ric Flair. Hell?
That's
the
comedy.
I hate Ric Flair, so I loved it, and it was really bad.
I'm not a big Ric Flair guy either.
I wish you would have dropped a Woo Wings.
Woo Wings.
My favorite part is too. There was not my favorite. It's really tragic. But the fact that they didn't have enough time in the movie, so they had to completely leave out brother who died.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man.
The funny thing is, I read the director had actually said that they wanted to, but like it was so emotionally like draining already to have another brother die. They're like, we can't do this again.
Yeah,
so, we can't tell the real story.
Two-hour film, and so they said they tried to incorporate two of the brothers into the youngest brother's
Michael, so.
Personality or something. But anyways, it was a great movie.
Yeah,
it really
go see Iron Claw. Oscar,
my favorite clip was a TikTok I saw though, where some guy had told his wife or girlfriend that it was a Zac Efron comedy.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yep. So they're on the way to the movie. So
yeah, she's all waiting for them to get their head in the game, but it never happened. Never happened. We're gonna try to pressure Alma into watching that movie. So,
It was a good movie.
Well, that's the thing. It's not like I don't want to see it, but it's not like on the top of my list of things to go see. So,
go see the jazz play tomorrow. Go watch the movie instead of watching the jazz play. The Rockets game was frustrating because I think the Jazz should have the Jazz were like 4 points with like 40 seconds left. Mm-hmm. How do you blow that? That was a bad loss. That one,
Shengun.
That one, I was like, no, that's a loss that you shouldn't. You know, you guys had that one and you lost it.
Clarkson lost it.
definitely felt like in Oklahoma City, and it felt like I guess that's true. You guys are talking off the ledge a little bit. Oklahoma City and Houston definitely felt like Jazz shooting themselves in the foot. You know, I don't like to use those cliches about how the other team didn't win, we lost, but they really did. Right. In Oklahoma City too, it seems like we just couldn't make the right play at the right time. Yeah. So I mean, really, I think the next four games will be really telling whether or not this is just a fluke. I mean, they have to win the next two.
For
me to feel really good, they've got to win at least one of two between New York and Brooklyn. They got to go 3-1
from the New York teams. And look, it sucks. I mean, the Jazz, the last three games have come out so, like, the first half just looked really awful, and they picked up in the second half. That's fine. That happens. It's a game in January.
Don't do that shit.
I don't really
care. What's one of my notes? You said one of my feedback is, what does it take for who to care about if the Jazz win or lose games? He doesn't care. Everyone's cared.
It's gonna take a lot. Like we got to Lowry first.
You should start gambling high sums of money on it.
that would work.
Rent amounts that could ruin your life. I need your investment back.
Logan tweeted out that he was very happy that I finally moved Lowry into a new tier last week, which was a big shock. I told Logan I had been saving that moment for when he was on the podcast, because I thought he'd be really happy. And then Lowry goes and kind of like makes me rethink my decisions here, because the one thing that frustrates me, and you know, this happened in all three, you know, in the two games that were close, people are complaining about Lowry not getting the ball in the clutch, and I get that. You know, if he's your best player, you should want him to have the ball in the clutch. The problem for me is I don't, because I think Clarkson and Colin Sexton are the way to go. Those guys can get, they can quote unquote create their own shot. Colin Sexton's driving into four guys, but he does the game.
The contact gets you to the line, and both Clarkson and Sexton are going to go ahead and do that. Where Markkanen, you can watch almost every single game this year, like just because of height and everything, he's not getting calls. So I would much rather have a guard that maybe he's not taking the smartest shot, but like if they're going to go ahead and get you to the line, like then I will go ahead and take the quote unquote guaranteed points.
Yeah. So I'm a little disheartened by Lowry's clutch play, and again, it's not his fault. Like I'm a, you know, everybody wants everybody to draw plays up for Lowry in the clutch, but I don't know. I think there's a whole the five other guys on the other end are doing the same thing. They're trying to take Lowry out of the plays. If you know that this guy in a triple threat position can't drive on you, can't back you down, you know, can't hit a Dirk fadeaway on you, then you're a little bit limited. So that's just a limitation in Lowry's game. Do I think he can get there? He doesn't have it right now. So it kind of what separates, you know, who I think the top tier guys are versus where Lowry's tier is right now.
So you're disappointed in for not getting the ball in the clutch, but you don't want him to get the ball in the clutch.
I'm disappointed that he has that part of the game in the clutch yet. So
yeah, that's definitely the part we all are waiting to see, but I'd rather see him try to figure it out than, I mean, the little game of hot potato between Clarkson and Sexton at the end of the game was really cute. at the end of regulation and overtime, but it didn't produce shit. Yeah. So, if we're going to miss, we might as well miss with our potential dude, I guess. I don't know. It all depends, but I don't know. I'll save my Sexton talk for later. But.
Well, no, let's talk because we haven't heard because we have done the buy sell segments without you. And Colin, last couple of weeks, like he's really impressed me with his play. We talked about Colin since the beginning of the season, and I think the last time you were on the podcast and we talked to this, the quote was every time Colin Sexton shoots, I don't feel good about it. That was like early December, and so here we are, late January. Logan, what has your thoughts on Colin Sexton changed at all?
It's complicated. The results speak for themselves. I mean, like it's impossible for me to argue against what he's doing for the team and how well they're winning. There's something about the way he plays basketball that still makes me uncomfortable, though, and I don't know what I can't put my finger on what it is. It could just be some old nasty hater buried inside of me, which I don't know because I wasn't really a hater because I don't think I was. I think we thought he was forgettable. We didn't have strong feelings about him. I don't know. He's definitely. As the twos and threes kind of drove parallel, but he's kind of been the fulcrum who swung this, not alone, but his rise has also kind of coincided with, I mean, the Jazz's winning ways have also kind of, or they're parallel with his play and his ability to play consistently and THT going to the bench. So the results are hard to push back on. I feel more comfortable with him, I guess, watching him play. I still just have, I don't know. I can't really explain. I got a lot of, I look in my notes. I got a lot of bad notes in here. They're not very nice. and so I'm deleting them now. The nicest one was just that I was wrong about Dunn and Sexton. I was wrong about both of them.
Yep.
I have Sexton has some Pat Bevin. And,
interesting.
I Pat think he's Bev. Elevated past, that's a compliment. He's elevated past no. past Pat Bev.
Cause he's a dog.
So. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's also very confusing because it feels like there's this duality going where it's like, I feel like he's an important part of our. I guess I'm curious what you guys think is if he's this good and this important, that would mean he's not tradable or he should. I'm prefacing, no one's untradeable. Let's just get it off the table. But he should be viewed as a hold on piece rather than a trade piece, which is. I guess maybe that's where my little bit of hater and pushback still comes in because I'm not quite there to be there. I'm not quite there with him yet that he should be a build around piece. But then
I get what you're saying.
He's been really good. His numbers have been good. The team's been good. He's improved. He's not doing as many of the same silly things he was doing before. He's a really likable guy.
His assist numbers have been like he's playing more like a point guard than we've seen him in his career. I think like he's finding more guys. Making right passes, making good passes, and not even like just making assists, like making passes. As you know, we see Jordan Clarkson, he gets a pass and just you know you can get 10, 20 dribbles out of him before he does anything else. But Collins is making a lot quicker decisions. Like sometimes like he just gets the ball and passes right away. Like he just knows that the extra pass is what's needed. So that was what I was really impressed at. And we talked about this last week how Colin Sexton has moved up. Like, look, if the Jazz do trade him, the price for Colin Sexton has gone up significantly from November to now. And like we've talked about like before, like hey, most guys that are, you know, most GMs are not going to be like, oh yeah, they're not going to say, okay, this guy's played really well the last 2 weeks. We need to trade for him. They kind of know who these guys are. But Colin Sexton, I think, is one of those exceptions to the rule. Like, you know, you thought you knew who he was, but he showed you a lot more flashes. He showed it, you know, very consistently over 3 or 4 weeks. This was the THT talk I had last week with these guys was everybody wanted THT to play because they wanted him to up the value. But for him to up the value, he would have to do what Colin Sexton did. Like, Colin Sexton did it. Colin Sexton upped his value. But he's upped his value so much that no way the Jazz want to trade him. And there's a lot of Jazz fans who wouldn't want to trade him right now because they're hoping that there's still more to unearth, I guess, from his play. So I get that.
That was always the second part of the rule, right? Mm-hmm. Was that upping trade value wasn't a real thing because either A, it never happens.
Right.
Or B, if they do increase their value, you don't want to get rid of them.
And then, yeah, exactly. So, that's what Constance is like.
So you guys are all of the belief he's in that category. I mean, his name still appears quite, and maybe it's not by Jazz fans anymore, but his name still appears frequently in the trade rumor. I'm just curious what you guys' thoughts are.
I think 20
games has swung that much for him.
Right.
And it's Sexton, been 20 games.
Colin Sexton was, because like, he was sort of the main piece in that Donovan Mitchell trade before Lowry. You know, they gave him a fairly good contract, a 20-ish million a year. He's young. The Jazz, look, beginning of the year, like there were the Bucks trade rumors. There was a lot of trade rumors. And I think if you're Danny Ainge, if someone really wanted Colin Sexton, they could have him, but what's going to cost to get Colin Sexton now is going to be a lot more than it was 2 or 3 months ago. So that to me is like, yes, again, is Colin Sexton untradeable? No, but I don't. The teams that want to get him are the teams that don't have the assets to get him, I guess. And so if Colin Sexton was playing like he was in November, I think fans would be much more receptive to, you know, one first round pick or something, you know. There's no way that one first round pick gets you a phone call from the Utah Jazz, right? And so that's where I'm at, because I think at the beginning of the year we were all trying to figure out if the Jazz, you know, what pieces do they have to trade, what pieces do they have to keep. I think Colin Sexton, you know, while he still could be traded, has moved into that keep area just because you're not going to get, you know, there's a chance that he can get better. There's a chance that and Logan, I asked this last week. Do you think that Colin Sexton could be a number two to Larry Markkanen in the Jazz system?
Well, I mean, yes, but what as a championship contender, no.
Okay, all right, and that's
no. If those guys are my one and two, I think we've got a problem.
Yeah, and I think that's what Danny Ainge has to sit down and think to himself, like, do I have? You know, is Larry my number one? If Larry's my number one, cool. Who's my number two then? Who do I go get to get my number two? And if it's not Colin Sexton, then, you know, look, if you can find a godfather offer.
I want Zeus for him.
For Colin Sexton, then that's probably the way to go. But I think right now he's a keep because I don't think he's going to get that piece. But he has really raised his value, as we say. Alma,
I guess that's where I come down. It just seems wild to me that a stretch of 20 to 25 games has changed him that much. You know, for our sake as Jazz fans, hopefully it does continue to stay that way, and it maybe even gets better. But that's a wild jump.
Generally, I wouldn't make that jump, but
just a little over a quarter of a season, right, or a third of a season.
I would not try.
Yeah, so that's why I'm so surprised to hear you saying that.
Yeah, he's probably the only person that I've changed my mind on.
We're just trying to get him on this podcast. I think
generally, he's the only person, because everybody else, I'm kind of have the same thoughts. Jordan Clarkson, yeah, off the team. That's why I asked Jared probably a couple weeks ago, you know, what would you trade him for? He's like, oh, I don't want to trade him anymore because, you know, he's missed a triple-double. And I was like, okay, my thoughts are, you know, and just 2 weeks before that, Jared was talking about being happy to get a top 40 pick for, you know, a high second round pick for Jordan Clarkson, you know? So Jordan Clarkson's play hasn't changed my mind. THT was sort of always, you know, somebody that I didn't think had very much value in the trade market. Kelly Olynyk does have trade value in the trade market, but it may not be as high as we assume it's going to be. So,
well, like you guys debated very well last week too. Like, does it make sense to get rid of him if your goal is to make the play-in and convey the pick? I mean, it may not make any sense to get rid of him.
Right, and so, do I think that's Danny Ainge's goal for the season? I do not.
He said it. I saw it on the internet. He said it. He wants to win the first round series.
It was.
Did he actually say that, or is that just someone speculating?
That was like I think it was a speculation from I think it was a David Locke thing. He's like, from what I've heard, the Jazz want to win a first round playoff series or be competitive in the
playoffs. That's two David Locke references in 2 weeks. That's too many.
That's too many.
I'm gonna bow out now. I'll catch you guys in another 2 weeks.
Locked on the high notes here, Alma. I mean,
Murdoch, Honda, Chevrolet.
Actually, Jared. You just heard. Has anybody else's thoughts? Has your thoughts on any of the players changed? Colin Sexton.
I mean, I thought we did a whole piece on this last week. Didn't we have this discussion last week?
But here we are a week ago.
You mean since then? No, not really.
Like, made differences and.
And plus, like, three games have gone by, so I mean. Three-game losing streak has anything...
Could be time to jump off, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is time to get off the bat. Like, look.
I hope I'm not that reactive of a fan, but maybe I still am.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, you guys did have good conversation. I guess what I'm kind of getting at, it just seems kind of wild. I guess I'm looking at this on a different lens. I've shifted. And trading him or not trading him, I guess that's what I'm getting at. It's just kind of strange to think that he's moved into, like... untouchable territory.
I think if the value is
two first rounders, it's a god offer. Is that really? I guess what I'm getting at is 30 games is enough. Is convinced us enough that he's a build around piece. Like, well, you know, he's a piece that should be here based upon his contract, his age, mm-hmm. what he's shown us. He can be part of a winning team, and that value is going to be worth it. I guess that's what I'm.
Because season, a lot of us were more like. Colin Sexton could – I mean, to be – for on my part, I really thought Colin Sexton was going to be here through the year at least. I really thought it was going to be Clarkson, Olynyk, and THT. I understand that maybe Colin was on a list for some people, you know, because there was a lot of fans talking about – trust me, I know they keep receipts. That Colin Sexton, they were not happy with Colin Sexton at the beginning of the season. And a lot of people have changed their tunes. A lot of people have come out and said they changed their tune on Colin Sexton. And I think part of it is like, look, I think we always knew that he could score. We saw it in Cleveland. He had multiple 30-point games in Cleveland.
I mean, we even saw it here in the handful of stints that he had last season that he had the ability. It was just a matter of, like, keeping his energy tamed.
This year, it's been his passing. It's been his a little more consistency. And making from December to January, it wasn't just the scoring. It was him just making better decisions. And it was this weird, like, okay, yeah, that's the player we thought he could be. I think Logan has this analogy of, like, you know, good stats guy on a bad team, which I kind of thought he was in Cleveland. And now I'm watching him, like, you know, I don't know if he's the number two. I think the Jazz still need to go find that number two or that co-number one with Lowry. But I think Colin Sexton could be a piece of that team. But the other guys I mentioned, the other three I mentioned, probably not. Almost anybody else on the roster.
And that's important. I guess that's what I'm getting at. You know, we can't to build a championship team. You can't just be chasing number ones and number twos. Like, I get that's mm-hmm. the important part of all, but there are other people worth getting. I guess keeping on your team. And I know we all dick around on Twitter a lot, but there has been a ton of the Donovan Mitchell comps to Sexton and how he's basically the same player. So, you know, you take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
We've always talked a lot of shit about Walker Kessler and Ochai being untouchable. I guess what I was saying is the three of you, I value your basketball opinions. And so I was curious where you guys landed on Sexton because it's been great. I hope it continues, but the sample size is not very big. And so I guess it was surprising to see some of the swings. And there's always the over-dramatic swings, which are kind of tongue-in-cheek or people who are just really that wild and irrational. But when the dust settles, it does feel like listening – to you guys last week watching a couple more that he's kind of shifted out of that role already, which I guess just surprised me a little bit. I mean, again, I hope he does it, but it was surprising with what has been a great stretch. And the stretch has been good, though. But yeah.
To me, it's the assist. To me, it's the assist and, like, finding players. Like, it was like December when, you know, if you guys remember, Quinn Snyder's son, Will Hardy, says, like, you know, if you're not going to play Jazz basketball, you're not going to be in a Jazz uniform, right? And it felt like part of that was directed at Colin Sexton. And I think not only, like, look.
Well, what I found interesting, too, is the follow-up quote he had. Like, what was it, 2 weeks ago, where he was saying something like he changed the way he was coaching or talking to Colin Sexton because he realized that just,
right.
Like, so it was like, oh, he's less robotic than Quinn. Hell, yeah.
From December when Will Hardy had said something like, hey, you know, we need to play Jazz basketball. And it was like sharing the ball. And from that point on, though, like, I was like, okay. Colin Sexton didn't actually like sulk away like some players might. Like, he rose to the challenge. And look, you know, nothing against Jordan. Like, look, Jordan Clarkson, triple double, still scoring third. That's really cool and all. But that's the type of basketball that I just think Will Hardy wants out of the Jazz system. So, like, to get out of the Jazz system, I should say. And so, yeah. But to me, why I think I'm the Colin Sexton renaissance, I should say, it happened when I thought the good decision making started happening, and that was kind of right after that Will Hardy quote. So, that's sort of like, and so maybe because I asked that number, like, is the Jazz number two on the roster? Keontae George has fallen way behind. Jared, I asked you this about a month and a half ago. Do you believe Keontae George is a superstar?
I mean, I really feel like as the third guard, we're getting to see him play, what, like 20 minutes a game? I don't know if you can really know if there's a superstar buried in there. I mean, he's not forcing the issue. He's not coming off the bench. Like, he's not outplaying somebody to get in the starting rotation. So
I would have to
say at this point, I don't feel that confident.
Okay.
Because otherwise he'd be forcing. Maybe over the summer he gets better and he has to be in the starting lineup. But right now it's like, I don't know.
I was not really on the train to start with. And then I think I'm pretty much off the train. Like, I don't think Keontae George has that guy in him. And it's fine. Like, you don't have – not everybody can be the guy. And it was a nice first month from him. Maybe he'll be – I don't know if he's got all-star appearances in him. So, I don't know.
I hope he's at least a two-time all-star, I hope.
No, that's pretty far away. Two-time all-star could be considered a superstar at some point. You have to be a superstar at some point to be a two-time all-star. So,
true.
No, that's not true. I'm going to go Kenny Smith on y'all's asses. There's really only five superstars in the NBA. You guys use that term way too fucking loosely. There's like five superstars.
That's my first tier. You're right, Logan. That's my first tier. So
yeah, superstar, no. Star, I think he's got potential to still be a star. There's certain abilities he has that aren't. You're right. We're all in unison that superstars have forced their way into the lineup. As much as Chris Dunn's been nice, he would force his way through Chris Dunn.
Right.
And he hasn't done that. How about that?
Could he get to Donovan Mitchell levels? Utah Donovan Mitchell levels. Utah Jazz Donovan Mitchell level.
No, Donovan Mitchell was already there at this point.
Yeah, so that was my fear because everybody was kind of crowning him as that at the beginning of the end. It looked nice, but that's a pretty and look. We talked about it all the time, Logan. If you're the dude, you're the dude. You know, so.
He's the big Lebowski.
No, like you said, though, we just need one of these three to hit, and we just need if one of these three guys hits, and somebody turns out to be, you know, a fringe. I'm not saying style of play, but I'm talking style of player, a Mike Conley type, who's like, kind of like, should it be an All Star this year, maybe or maybe not, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Best player never to make an All Star team.
Okay. You know, that would be success. That would be success, I think, for and Alma's.
We're gonna trade for Garland anyway, so it'll be fine.
Alma is nodding furiously there, so all right, so let's take a break and we'll be right back. All right. All sounds like good products that you should buy, Alma. Alma's why do we have to take a drink of water? So the other big news that came up today that's just has all Jazz fans in turmoil. I'm predicting it right now, January 24th, 2024. The Utah Jazz moving to Draper in probably 6 years, 6-7 years, because Ryan Smith is trying to bring the NHL to Utah. The story is that he's request expansion. The NHL is already at 32 teams. It is unlikely they would get to 34. 34 is a lot of teams for a league. The NBA is trying to get to 32, right? Mm-hmm. NHL, NBA, NFL, 32 is probably the magic number. It's 32 in Major League Baseball too, right, Logan?
30, I believe.
30? Okay, so 32 seems to...
Oh, isn't it like three divisions of five?
Yeah, soon to be 32. Excuse me, I should say. Soon to be 32 in all the leagues. 32 seems to be the magic number. So, like, the NHL's there. I don't watch enough NHL to know if there's enough talent, quote-unquote talent, to support two more teams.
The rumor for a while was that... They try to move the Coyotes from Phoenix because that's it.
But then
off the table.
But it doesn't seem to get a lot. There's not a lot of traction as of right now.
But they say that's like the main thing is whether or not they're going to go ahead and have the Coyotes move up north, or if they're going to go ahead and just do full expansion.
Look. If Utah can steal the Coyotes from Arizona, I think that would solve a lot of problems. Cool.
Arizona State would have to find a new way to fill that 5,000-person arena that they're in right now.
Frankly, like, nobody goes to those games in Arizona.
They won't have to pack up in the middle of the night. They can just go in the day.
They go there just to cool down.
Yeah, exactly. So, this whole hubbub is out because, you know, everybody sort of assumes that if Ryan – I think probably correctly – probably assumes that if Utah, Ryan Smith, I should say, the Smith Entertainment Group, SEG Media, decides that they want to build a stadium in Draper, it will probably be a dual-purpose stadium, basketball and hockey. Logan, this doesn't affect you. You don't care if the Jazz are downtown or not.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Yep. The one thing I do want to say, though, is I thought he said on Pat McAfee today, and he said hockey exclusive, though. Dude, I thought those words came out of his mouth. So I did listen to it.
Yeah, hockey exclusive. Hockey exclusive until...
Or I could be wrong. I mean, yeah. I don't do actually...
No. Well, you're right. No, those words did come out of his mouth. Sometimes I think people lie. And so,
well, yeah.
And so,
true, too.
who is Dr. House? Everybody lies.
So...
We could look at the rebrand.
Like, let's just say that
purple is back, bitches.
Let's just say that there has been things jersey. That Ryan Smith has put out there and have not been 100% accurate to when it actually has come out. When it happens, what happens?
Do you have like a list of all the lies? Who? Where's the Google Doc? Show me.
I don't keep those receipts, but. yes, but because the Olympics are presumably coming to Utah in 2034. They're going to want a very good hockey venue for the Olympics, right? So
that makes a lot of sense. I didn't think about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a second.
So they're gonna want.
I understand where he's going with this now.
They're gonna want that area. You know, there's hockey there. You know, the reason that the Bees are moving to Daybreak. Is because the LHM group wants to create this super entertainment center surrounding that stadium. You know, they're going to open this megaplex that's going to have like VR suites and all the stuff. So basically, go down to that quote unquote downtown Daybreak to experience all that stuff. If you've been to I haven't been to a lot of places, but like I talked to Alma today. You know, the Phoenix Suns, Chase Field, and whatever they call the Phoenix Suns Stadium, are right next to each other, and it's a bar. The Rockies are in downtown Denver. Is really close to like all the other arenas. They're kind of in that same area.
With Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
As well.
Milwaukee has all their stuff right next to each other. You know, it's hockey exclusive until it isn't. You know, does Ryan Smith want to pay for two buildings? Like, I know he doesn't pay a lot for the land.
$1 for one, right. And then whatever the cost is for the other.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what the cost is for having two arenas in two separate cities. I don't know how much it would save. I presume it would save you tons of money to have one arena or have it all at least in the land that you own. He doesn't own the land underneath the Dell Center, but he could own the land or at least some, you know, have a good profit margin on the land in Draper. So that's my thoughts. Just saying. So
I was just thinking about this too.
Utah seem to be pretty vehemently opposed to having taxpayers pay for a new hockey arena for the NHL, but are they opposed to having a hockey arena built for the Olympics? I guess is $1 million question.
If they have to
build a hockey arena for the Olympics, might be a cheaper route for him. He's not stupid.
Yep, they love their Olympics. He didn't fall into $1 billion for a reason. So
yeah.
And plus, like, whenever you're talking about taxpayers, they're going to be upset that they're going to be paying for anything that they don't agree with. So that's just going to be a given. But
yeah, no, they're all full of shit because they'll still vote for it. I'm just saying that, like, I guess what I'm saying is I didn't look at it through this lens. Who said they need a hockey arena for the Olympics? I'm like, wait a second, that's mm-hmm. a nice little saw loophole or something he can piggyback himself onto.
Yep.
It's a savvy move, right? And maybe he can deflect from some
like
of the
heat. The day
everyone says that, and then they vote for him, and then right. they go enjoy this space. And
right.
It never stops. And when's the last time the only time the voters turned it down was the Phoenix Coyotes. Everyone always votes in favor of these things. I mean, Vegas will do it at midnight, you know, when no one's around and get it done in 10 minutes.
The day that the Olympics came to Utah or was announced as a disaster, like Ryan Smith tweeted out some cryptic, like, oh, today's a big day. Like Ryan Smith has a very firm hand in helping the Olympics come to Utah. So
is that a done deal? Like, what's the story?
It's
with
not
them?
Done. It's, they are preferred.
They are the preferred destination for the 2034 Olympics.
It's like a promise ring in high school. Like, it's not.
I don't know how I feel about getting a promise ring in high school.
A promise ring in high school is like, hey, look, we're not gonna get engaged. We're not gonna get married. But this is a promise that if we have sex, I won't break up with you. So.
And that's when they pull the rug out from underneath you, and then they're like, ha, just kidding.
Yeah, people lie.
Something definitely gets pulled.
Oh, whoa.
Alma did not go to high school in Utah, so I don't know if this analogy hits with him or not. So that's what a promise ring is. So Logan never needed a promise ring.
See, out in Florida,
nobody
promise ring
promise
is just a teenage
California
pregnancy.
Who? You're crazy.
What was that?
Yeah, pretty much a promise ring in high school in Florida is the teenage pregnancy.
Yeah, there you go.
And even then, that doesn't even follow through.
Yeah, I went to the high school. In my high school in Sacramento was we actually had a little high school next door where all the pregnant girls went.
All right, Logan, give me a better analogy. Apparently, the promise ring analogy is not the analogy.
My original question was how solid of a selection does that mean? Promise ring seems sketchy at best. So there's a good chance they don't come to Utah. I guess that's what I'm getting at. The promise ring feels like
the promise
a 33%
ring, like,
probability.
Handshake.
Look, it is a firm handshake. I think basically, if Utah doesn't screw it up in the next 4 years, they're in, right? Like they have to get the air quality better and some other stuff, but they can still not be the host. So.
But they are preferred.
They are, yeah. Like you guys are. You have the inside track. Just don't fuck it up in the meantime. So
yeah, how do we get the air quality better? Just like giant vacuum cleaner, or what's the?
We all have to do our part.
I honestly don't think they have a comprehensive plan. So
I think Spencer Cox said them. If we pray about it, we might be able to get that done. So
I need
you
to see
more rain in the air. Double double. What I would love to say, just like on a completely unrelated note, is I would love. I see a lot of excited baseball erections on Twitter for the A's coming to Utah for maybe a couple of years. I would love for Sacramento to steal that.
Oh, it's Sacramento and Vegas. Both those cities are in the running.
Oh, so Vegas is in the running to keep it themselves?
Yep.
The Las Vegas ballpark is already like Las Vegas ballpark, where the Aviators play, is already head and shoulders above. I mean, I guess they're not going to play at Smith. They're going to play at some new stadium, huh?
Yeah,
they're going to play at
the building in Daybreak.
That was Utah's pitch, was that, hey, we'll keep the A, keep the B's at the Smith ballpark. We'll let you play at the brand-new ballpark. That we're building
and break it in,
and that will have the all the clubhouse stuff that a minor league team, minor league ballpark can't do. The other benefit for Utah would be, the Beads won't you won't have to schedule around a minor league team like the River Cats and the Aviators. You would have to schedule both teams at that ballpark. So, not the biggest deal, but a small.
River Cats.
But Sacramento could use a team. I mean, look.
I don't want Sacramento to have anything good either, but I'm just saying I would love
River. You just want them to have it more than Utah. It'll probably be
worse. I just don't like. I don't want you guys to have anything good. Is what I'm getting.
Boise's in the running for something. No,
we're not. And that's why I want.
That's exactly. Well, yeah, like it's a misery loves company thing. Not that you know.
Yeah.
So
as I was sitting on the toilet preparing for this thing that we were doing, though, I was. It is kind of wild because like my instinct is always like, oh, Utah isn't big enough to get. They are. Y'all are growing.
Yeah,
it isn't just like silly little Utah anymore. They're all legitimate chances. It's just funny for me growing up watching not just the population, but what the belief was. There was no one who gave a shit about baseball or hockey.
Yep.
Growing up, like it was soccer,
but
it was soccer, basketball, and football. You know what it was, and so it's just kind of interesting.
You know what? Number one, we had a much smaller bubble, right? Like we had Roy High, right? So that was our bubble. Mm-hmm. And then Weber State or Utah State, right? Like our bubbles were small. Now we have Twitter, which is, you know, a much bigger bubble. Like you're like, oh, well, that's weird. Like you're a hockey fan, or not even that. I think because you know there was a lot of discourse today, and Alma was part of it. People were like, oh, baseball, oh, hockey, oh, both. The long and short of it is, if it's daybreak,
do the colleges here have pro hockey? Think about it. I know that it's like a club sport. I think at Weber State, right? But do the local Do BYU and Utah have hockey teams?
I don't think so. I've never seen them. If it is, it's probably club level.
And their baseball teams are legendary. I mean, they just are. I mean, when I think Utah, I think of baseball and baseball. So
I mean, Utah. The funny thing is that Utah
just won the Pac-12, and
The Utah Utes were using Smith's Ballpark as their stadium as well, had to go and build their own. Because you know they didn't know what Smith's Ballpark was going to do. So, the ironic thing is that once hockey and baseball do come to Utah, those first few years are going to be great because it's a shiny new thing. You know, like all right, I am going to go to, I will go to Draper to watch hockey. I will go to Daybreak. Like, they hate it now, right? Everybody hates it now. But for that, you know, those first few months to see something new, you'll drive out there. It does suck. Look, downtown is a nice area to have the Jazz, especially for me professionally/personally. But I see it moving. I just do.
Draper is Daybreak. Daybreak is Draper. What is that? I don't know the difference.
No, they're two different cities. They're two different cities.
Well, where's Daybreak?
Daybreak is further west, way further west. It's like Magna, but way south.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But it's like brand spanking new. It was all built. It's up by the Kennecott stuff. Like, Jesus. Basically right. Butts up to the mines and shit. Yeah, it goes
I can see why people are bitching about that one, for sure. I was having a hard time understanding this Draper thing. But
Draper to the Dental is a 20-mile difference, about 23 minutes via I-15 North. So about,
Yeah, Daybreak is not that far from Harriman.
That was Draper. So, this is, what am I doing?
Daybreak and Harriman are on the same side.
Who's about to tell us he hasn't been recording any of this whole show?
Daybreak is about 30 minutes from the Delta Center. So the Delta Center is your
central point.
Then, there's, you know, miles and Utah traffic. That's not easy traffic to get through. So some of these people who want to go to these games, it's going to be an hour long drive. Logan, I didn't get to see you when I was in Boise last. How far are you from Albertsons Stadium?
Probably like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's not too. I mean, that's probably like where a lot of people from, the Davis County or Harriman, like. Anyone that's in like South Salt Lake, Salt Lake area, It's about 30 minutes to get to. I mean, Alma. Gosh, why do I keep saying that? Alma. You're in Taylorsville.
So yeah. So
10 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say for me to get here, it's like 10, 15 minutes depending on the traffic.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad.
Not too bad, but yeah. I mean, downtown. I don't know what sporting event that you usually go to. I assume it was Boise, but I don't know. Like, is an hour drive a deal breaker for you?
Yes. But I'm historically a shithead who doesn't want to go to like anything though. Like I prefer the viewing experience at home over almost everything else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I definitely know I'm not the right person to ask that question. Cause my threshold, I don't like any of it. I don't like having to get down there and try to find somewhere to park. I don't like having to pay someone to park. I don't like having to wait to get out after the high of the game is worn over. I like to getting out. I will avoid like sporting event at almost all costs unless I can.
That's
you know, unless I'm in a city where you can, you know, you can get a hotel next to it, or you can use public transit of some type to get here and there.
Yeah, that's so why I'm taking tracks to the game.
Okay, so how about like,
I don't really love it, but I will say one more thing, and I'll stop being as much of a shithead. I'll say it's like the last of the three bad things I'll say, but one thing I think people will underestimate about the hockey basketball thing, like you said, who everyone's going to show up at first, because the population is growing and it will be exciting, but as someone who's like really diving into hockey now, like I'm really I really enjoyed it. I watched my Golden Knights on and off historically.
My Golden Knights.
I'm telling you, man, I'm a big fan. But anyways, all jokes aside, I've really gotten into it. I'm trying to learn more about what's going on. It is hard to keep up because so many times these teams are playing at the same time and they have the same things going on. And I definitely find myself when the Jazz start to do their stupid shit, like going 7-16, like, I will just wander away and not care because it doesn't make any sense. Because this other product over here is really good, really shiny, really exciting.
Yeah, right. And watch the hockey team instead. Oh yeah,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. They played it like their direct competition for the Jazz, and I think that I've seen Colton mention it a few times on Twitter, and I think people forget about that. That it'll be, and again, maybe the I'm not saying the population won't support it, but I'm talking like it is hard to keep up with two of those things, especially when you get the end of football, like going through half of it. Like there's only so many hours in the day that like unless you're someone who has nothing to do but sports, it's hard to find the time to be into your college football. It's hard to be NFL. And then once you get past that, your basketball and hockey season are halfway over.
Right.
And they're in direct competition with each other. It's been surprising to me how hard it's been to keep up. And for me to sit there and look and say, okay, the Knights play at 6 o'clock and the Jazz play at 7. Which one am I going to watch?
Right.
And it's just been interesting. That's all I'm saying. It's just I think it's not quite as simple and cut and dry as what people think it is.
I had this conversation with Alma at work earlier today. Alma, what did I say to you about with right now the Utah Jazz being the only show in town? What I think would happen in 20, 30 years if the Jazz or if Utah adds a baseball and a hockey team?
So if I remember it right, you were saying that if anything, like these new shiny toys are most likely going to be the ones that get the chip first.
Yes.
And then also like on top of that, you have this big fan base around the Jazz because again, that's like the main show in town. But also that's not factoring in. There's people that probably became basketball fans because it was the only show in town and now they can feed into the sports that they may have interest in. Right. And that's kind of where I'm at personally. Yeah. Like granted, yes, basketball, I absolutely love it. But I mean, if there was a hockey team around, I would go to a few games to try and learn. But at the same time, if Ryan Smith is going to own multiple entities, he's most likely going to try and do the smart thing and make the most profit out of it by making sure that these teams are not playing at home at the same time if it's avoidable.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's you know, like, you can't have a game on the same night, right? But, so, you know, and I almost said, like this is a 20, 30-year proposition. Like, if all of a sudden in 10 years, the Jazz, Utah has all three sports, like guys, we've been Jazz fans for 30-some-odd years. How hard is it to win an NBA championship in an NBA championship? Major league, if you can spend enough money and spend it correctly, you can get. But you have to spend money. You can't. You know, Moneyball didn't win the A's that many. I don't think Moneyball won them any championships.
Well, the Rays, though. Look at the Rays.
Baseball, here's the thing about baseball, too. Baseball's got, to your point, baseball's got weird exceptions of high spending. Spending a lot of money doesn't guarantee a win.
Right.
There's plenty of examples of teams that don't spend much money who can do their little scouting things, and they can have competitive baseball teams, which is – so there is a pathway there. One thing that Jazz fans – I guess when I'm giving them all these tips to life, you know, just to make their lives better, you are at a scientific disadvantage playing baseball in Utah. I just hope everyone understands that. As a lifelong suffering Rockies fan, it's not a fucking joke. It's not something that's like, oh, hey, it's an excuse. It's a legitimate scientific disadvantage to play baseball at a mile above sea level.
Oh, because the altitude.
Yeah, what it does to the ball and the way the ball flies and what it does to pitchers, not only mental state, but the fact that the ball doesn't break as well. I mean, there's scientific things going against it. So anyways, from a if you factor out the science, then yes, baseball has a chance because spending more money isn't guaranteed wins. It's not like the NBA where they only have so many markets that are guaranteed to be good. So you do have a pathway. Hockey, I mean, my God, I mean, hockey, you've got teams who are in year one and two competing in the playoffs. So it's a weird –
How about this for baseball then, Logan? Teams that are consistently cheap don't win championships.
Correct.
Yeah, that's sort of like LHN will have it, but
also Rockies.
But yeah, like if they don't, like, look, the Rangers aren't consistently spending money, but they won because they put a lot of money in their roster last year. So, but being consistently cheap, you're not going to get there. You have to at some point spend some money. And we don't have the evidence that LHM Group is going to do that. We don't know. I mean, look, we don't have a baseball team. Just from the years of Greg Miller and the Jazz.
Gail's just going to throw all of our money.
We also don't have evidence.
Larry
H. Miller. We don't have evidence that Ryan Smith's going to spend money on the hockey team either, though.
But hockey, the money doesn't seem to be as beneficial as it is.
Hockey is – just so you guys know, because Ryan Smith always spying on me and trying to steal my information.
Right.
I was researching – because, again, I told you I'm getting into hockey. I was researching last night. NHL is hard capped.
Mm-hmm.
82.3 million dollars a year.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
So it's not a ton of money. There is a cap.
That's the thing, is that we don't even know that Ryan Smith spending money on the hockey team would be beneficial. Like the Golden Knights, I don't know what their payroll was with their first couple of years, but they were ready to win a championship almost right away. So
Well, part of that's because your goalie really fucking matters, and they got a really good outfit.
And so I guess my point about all this is that look, you bring a hockey team to Utah, all things being as equal as they are, hockey will have a better chance of winning a championship in Utah than baseball and basketball. And who knows? Like, as Logan just said, you know, this is a limited income state. You know, like, we all have only so much money to spend. You know, it's going to be hard for people to be ticket holders of both the Utah Blizzard Yetis and the Utah Jazz. I sense there could be a shift in fandom in 20 years. Like, in 20 years.
I mean, you guys tell me. I mean, how does RSL stack up? I know it's not the greatest comp because they're kind of in a league even below hockey somehow. But, I mean, what's their attendance like compared to the other – are they a top-attending team in MLS? Or, I mean, I don't know anything about.
The games that I've been there, it was all the rage initially, right? The games that I've been there, they are full, but I don't go to a lot of games there. They've got a passionate –
They wildly fluctuate, but yeah, they typically have at least 10,000 people
there.
They're
a passionate niche fan base. So,
if y'all are the fastest growing state in the country, then you definitely got a chance to do it. I'm just saying that I think you might be putting in jeopardy. I think one of the things I'm just shouting out Ryan Smith so many times, but it was just so funny to watch him on Pat McAfee. I think he said something about the Jazz was still at like 251 straight games. I don't know that something like that is real sustainable. If you get a hockey team in here in the next couple of years until the population catches up and continues to grow, I think those things might be in jeopardy. But not to where you're going to show up and the Jazz are going to be nothing. I'm just saying that everyone is super excited for it now, and I get it. Right. And I'm not trying to rain on your parade, even though I want to rain on your parade. I'm just saying it's not. it really does take a lot of, like, first of all, none of you know hockey. Like, I don't know hockey. It takes time to learn the sport, baseball included. So you got to take the time to learn it and get invested, and then. It does. There's only so much time that you have, and it's like some of these are like really niche pockets, right? Like the hockey people are hockey people usually. They're not really like I don't know. It's just it's kind of interesting to see.
No, I've noticed that hockey people are like almost exclusively hockey because they're like us with NBA. They like watch 82 games of hockey a year, and that's it.
To ask you a question, Logan, about the RSL, Alma looked it up. Alma, what is it?
So out of the 29 teams that are in the MLS, Real Salt Lake ranks 17th in average attendance with 19,429 people per game.
So
19,000 a game, you said?
19,000, which...
That's a lot of fucking people.
I have a hard time seeing that many people actually show up, though, because
I don't have any point of reference for, like, soccer, though. I don't know what...
So,
I mean, 19,000 is a lot for basketball, but, like, a baseball stadium is usually somewhere between...
So I'll give you
70, right?
I'll give you the numbers for the top and the bottom of this list. Atlanta United FC, they average 47,526 fans per game.
Yeah, they're playing a huge stadium.
And then the bottom end is the Houston Dynamo, and they average 15,027 people. So
and we also
we're a lot closer to the basement than we are the panel.
Yeah, but again, like the threshold there, there's only three teams that have over 30,000 per game.
Everybody else is closer to 20,000.
How many home games does a soccer team play? I don't know.
They have so many because like their offseason happened 2 months ago, November. Like they're already in preseason. Like I was like, oh my god, like you guys take a 3 month break. That's it. So.
No, but they also
feels like they're always playing.
They take a lot of international breaks and stuff too, though. I feel like the actual season is only like 40 games long or something. So, I can't. And it's like one a week though. But, it's like a lot.
That's sort of my not fear. Like if it happens, it happens. But I can see that hockey overtaking. Like I can see in 20 years, Utah becoming a hockey state and not a basketball state. That's basically what I'm saying. With a shiny new toy, and if they end up being really good, really fast, and the Jazz just being mediocre, as they have been for 30, 40 years, I can see that shift happening. So,
also for this upcoming season for Real, too. They have 18 home games.
18 home games. There you go.
Okay, so yeah, that's about right. All right, that's interesting. I just don't know. I wonder. A lot of billionaires who own multiple different franchises. I wonder if there's any that own basketball and hockey, because those do seem like competition sports, right? Like I know the Cardinals basically own everything in Denver and everything, with the exception of the Rockies and everything in LA.
Except for the Rockies.
It all came together perfectly for me. So we're talking about ownership of the Rockies being the curse, and the best way I can describe the Monforts is like if Greg Miller never gave up control of the Jazz.
Right. Yeah.
For 20 years. So just think about that for a second when you're getting excited for the Miller group. I'm not trying to be nasty here, but Gale's only going to be around so long. You know, it is what it is. So someone, I'm not being a dick. I'm just saying like at some point someone has to step up. Has there been another Miller who's emerged?
We're going to get a Greg trampoline baseball team is what we can get.
Honestly, I think Greg is like sort of pseudo-retired in terms of running the company.
So is there another Miller, though, somewhere?
They have Steve Smith, president of their group. Starks, Steve Starks.
So, I mean, hockey in Utah, again, basically you have to steal the Coyotes from Arizona. We'll see if that happens.
Honestly, that'd be super confusing, though, if the Miller family... Like, are they? There's just going to be a ton of infighting over the baseball team. That's going to be really freaking weird.
There's probably a hierarchy that they've, you know, you would hope that people who have that much money
have
a
hierarchy
because, you know, that could get nasty, fighting over billions of dollars. So, all right. Well, Logan.
Tough shit.
it's been a minute, but I think we need to get something in the produce corner here.
Oh Jesus! I don't even know how we ended up here. This is the Utah Jazz podcast.
Yeah.
We spent 40 minutes talking about the ins and outs of all professional sports. Shout out to Ryan Smith, the new Aaron Rodgers. do with that however you'd like. I have a question for you guys. Do you guys actually get free? Do you guys get actual chicken now from Chick-fil-A? What's the deal with that?
Chicken nuggets.
An 8-count.
Is it always nuggets, or do they fuck with you guys and sometimes give you like a fry sauce or something?
No, you remember that time? I tweeted that out there was two free throw misses in a row, two games, and they gave a drink instead one time. But no, it's always nuggets. And before there was a trick. And we can talk about it now because they got rid of the trick. In the fourth quarter, it didn't matter if they'd missed or not. You could always open the app in the fourth quarter.
Didn't even have to be the fourth quarter.
Oh, really?
I was normally doing it the moment I arrived in the arena. I was like, really? All right, Chick-fil-A okay, app, well, yeah. Bam, got my free 8-count nugget, whether it happens or not.
You could open the app during the game anytime, apparently, and you would get the free reward. But they had to go and fuck that up.
Yeah, my account straight up got blocked from getting any reward at that point because I did it so many times. I was like, damn it.
Now they give the reward to anybody in the state, I guess.
Yep, in the state.
If you miss the two chicken free throws, but you have to wait like 15 minutes after. And that's if they actually do it. Like someone has to actually activate that offer. So I know there was one game that everybody missed it. So.
And if you're at the game too, if you're connected to the Wi-Fi in the arena, you have to actually disconnect from that Wi-Fi in order to actually get the reward.
Anyway, that's how you get your chicken nuggets now. So,
you're right. I'm telling you, man, this Alma Bean guy knows what's going on.
Thanks.
Alma Bean, host of the Highlighter Highlights. You can catch all your favorite podcasters.
At
Alabama. I just barely did find it on Apple Podcasts, and I did subscribe to the channel or whatever.
Oh, it made it onto Apple Podcasts?
Alma getting that news live.
I just subscribed to something that's black and yellow that says Highlighter Highlights.
Well, because the thing is, I went ahead and put in like a request to be on Apple Podcasts because now the way that I record is through Spotify for podcasters.
Yeah, we had the same.
And it's immediately just on Spotify, so I've just been putting that out, and I went ahead and put in the whatever the code is, sent it into Apple and heard nothing back.
I'll ask you a question, Alma. Did you do an episode on December 13th called Blue Christmas or a Happy New Year?
Yes, I sure did.
Well, you're on fucking Apple Podcast.
Let's go. Blue Christmas.
The Jazz Pod Co-op lives on. The Highlighter Highlights and marks the two the twos and threes with Mark.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
That's also Jazz Pod Co-op. The Jazz Pop Co-op lives on. The hitting the high notes. Also, Jazz Pod Co-op, part of the Believe Network, so they did the work for me, which is always nice to have that on the things there. Jared, anybody we should shout out for you?
Let's just say Gets It has been tweeting a lot of Dante Exum content recently, and I like it.
Okay. Dante Exum. So Logan, thanks for coming back. I know that you got some stuff to do, so we'll get out of here. I will say that Logan tagged me in a tweet. I am saying it right here. I'll tweet it out. I will no longer be going to the Four Seasons Hotel in L.A. So, boycott the Four Seasons Hotel in L.A.
What happened there?
Britney Spears is now banned from the Four Seasons Hotel in Los Angeles for going topless at the pool.
Yeah, because she doesn't have a residency there. Well, if they get the residency, they'll let her do whatever she wants.
So yeah, like done with the Four Seasons.
Like you have to at least give us a notice.
Anytime Britney Spears is doing something naked or nearly naked, I make sure that everyone is aware of it.
Yes, bros supporting bros. I got an OnlyFans ad on my Twitter today, but it was like can these OnlyFans creators actually cook? I don't think you understand what I subscribe to OnlyFans for, but okay.
Yeah. So let me tell you a quick story about that for a second, because I had the same conversation with Honey Paws last night, and I was like, I was scrolling through, I'm like, oh god damn it, this is like it's checking my phone and feeding my algorithm. It's like I was getting really nervous for a second, and then it said the same thing you said, which is can these OnlyFans creators do cooking. I thought, wait a second, who would subscribe to OnlyFans to watch people cooking? And then I looked a little bit closer, and I don't want to judge a book by its cover, but I'm going to assume based upon the individuals I saw there in their little chef's outfits that they're probably people who do things on OnlyFans you'd think of, and they're bringing it together to see if they can cook too, is my guess.
Like, are they trying to learn along the way too? Like, are they trying to find out if they can cook?
They're OnlyFans creators. Yeah. So, like, these are people.
I know. It took me a second. I was like, wait, who would subscribe to OnlyFans to watch people cook?
That's well, I mean, listen, when you got people like DJ Khaled having OnlyFans as well, I mean, you never know what you're going to find on there.
I should post this bingo card I got because, like, someone did a bingo card, and it was like this weird thing, like, do you own a Funko Pop? Do you own anime figures? I was like, okay, that's so it's a nerd thing. But then the other one was like, do you have a Stanley Cup? And I was like, what? What is this? Like, they're trying to. I was like, I don't even know what the theme of this bingo card is. Like, one of the squares is subscribe to OnlyFans, and I was gonna make a joke, like cross that. That was like the only thing I was gonna cross out. Like, oh, I guess I don't get a bingo.
Ah, darn. Yeah.
So. Maybe I'll do that still. All right, cool. Well, anyway, I want to thank Bet Online, Believe, and OnlyFans for sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, you can follow. you can follow. Go to This is 49. He drives the bus on OnlyFans.
Who was that guttural? Yeah, was that?
I think it was Alma. Alma being 23. He highlights the highlighters, Dragon Squatch, and I'm at Who Trusts Superman, and we'll catch you guys next time. Guttural, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's fired up for this.
Listen, if they can get some money in my pocket, absolutely.
He's got enthusiasm we all should have had for him, but we know who's bullshit. He's been shouting out people. Aren't
real
sponsors for literally years now. So.
I would like to thank him at Utah Jazz for sponsoring the podcast. Utah Jazz is 1Z.
And I would like to thank the official op of the Hitting the High Notes, wherever she may be.
Yeah. Utah Jazz, like the people who will get that joke about the Utah Jazz with 1Z, those are my people. So.